If you'd like to follow along with me, you can turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And these verses that we're going to read, these first seven verses, they chiefly concern those called of God to preach His gospel. But though they concern men like myself and these other pastors, evangelists, all those who would preach the gospel in our day, they have an application to all that believe. Just as it's fitting for me to learn what it is to be a preacher, an ambassador of Christ, it's for you to know the same thing. Otherwise, how are you going to know if I am a man called of God? How are you going to know when a man comes here that he's called of God after I'm gone? So these things have an application on both sides, if you will. So let's read these verses together. Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 7. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, that is, besides the 12 apostles. And he sent them two by two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes. And he's not telling them to go barefoot here. He's just telling them don't take an extra pair of shoes. If you go to the other accounts, they'll kind of fill in the blanks a little bit. But he's telling them don't bother with a purse or a scrip nor shoes. And salute no man by the way. Don't dawdle. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, who's that? That's Christ. That's Christ. If the Spirit of Christ, if the knowledge of Christ is in that house, if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, that is, if the Spirit of Christ is there and their reception of you is good and they care for you and they're going to take care of you, they're interested in what you have to say, remain there. Eating and drinking such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from that house. Now let's begin here. After these things. What things? What things? After telling them he must go to Jerusalem and suffer and die. He told them point blank. None of them actually believed that. None of them did. It comes out later on that they still thought he would go to Jerusalem and then that's where he's going to be revealed, this man like Moses, this man like David or Solomon, this great man like Elijah is going to be revealed, you know, and he's going to turn things around for the nation of Israel. They just couldn't get shed of that idea. But he tells them he's got to go to Jerusalem and suffer and die, and the third day rise from the dead. And after these things, he's talking about after demonstrating his determination to go without distraction. He's going to go. He set his face like a flint. He wasn't going to be deterred. He's talking about after he corrected some common errors among his disciples, arguing about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God and so on. And then after these things, he's talking about after showing them what was required of them. What's required of them. You know, the scripture said, he that hath much much is required. You say, boy, that man, he knows a lot. Well, then a lot from him is required. And then he's talking about after exposing their pride and ambition, and after correcting their censoring spirit. Here was some people, and they were doing work in the name of the Lord, and because they weren't part of the 12, they were going to forbid them to do anything. Lord said, leave them alone. And then after rebuking them about their foul spirit of vengeance, they were going to cause fire to rain down on that city, Jericho. They wanted fire to rain down. And then it's also after the master had commanded their wholehearted devotion to him. Every God-called preacher must be taught of God how to be a good steward of the manifold grace of God. He's to live a life worthy of example to all that believe. Does he ever feel like he comes up to the mark? I can only answer for myself, but I can tell you no. No, I always feel short of that, always inadequate. Paul said to the Philippians in Philippians 3:17, he said, brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. Now, I don't care how pure the water is. I don't like to drink from a dirty fountain. Do you hear? My dad used to stop in Portsmouth, Ohio. We'd be on our way down to Kentucky to visit his parents, and we'd always stop there because there was a spring. And over time, they had fitted that spring into a water fountain, and it just naturally come up and run all the time. But everybody and their brother came over to that fountain. I'm telling you, that's the filthiest looking fountain you've ever seen. But he'd get the water out of it, you know, but I couldn't make myself drink out of it. And when you see a preacher who just lives like the devil and don't care about anything, you want to drink that water? I don't care how pure that water is, it's coming out of his mouth. It's a deterrent for me to drink. And that's what our Lord's talking about here. You've got people here and they're looking at you. They can't. It takes a revelation of God for them to understand what you're saying. But if you really want them to listen, don't be a corrupt fountain. Walk honest among them. Be an example of what you're preaching. It's important. It's important. Good behavior is required of all believers, but especially in those who represent Him before men. We're ambassadors from Christ. Men sent to represent Him and bring His message to dying sinners. In being rebuked by the Lord, we learn how and in what spirit to rebuke others. In being corrected by the Lord, we learn how and in what attitude to correct. After these things, these men were not novices. That's what he's telling us. They were not novices. They were taught of God. And then secondly, it says here that he appointed other 70. And chapter 9 begins with the calling of the 12 apostles into the ministry. And I think that's what he's talking about here when he says other 70. He's talking about other than the 12 apostles that he'd already called. But what I want you to see here is that they were appointed of the Lord. How shall they preach, the scripture said, except they be sent? They have to be sent of God. And preaching is the means used by the Holy Ghost to bring about the new birth. Now I tell you, a lot of people don't want to, they won't bow to that. They'll disagree with me on that. But the scripture's clear. clear. In 1 Corinthians 5:15, Paul said, for though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, you've had a lot of people get their 2 cents worth in. You've had a lot of people tell you this and tell you that and lay down things that are true. Though you had 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. Now listen to what he says here. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. That's pretty clear, ain't it? Now, you want to fight against something? Fight against that. Argue with that. The gospel of Christ is the very seed of regeneration. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, listen to this. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Did you know Jesus Christ is identified in the scripture as the Word? As the Word? He's the subject of it. He's the reason for it. He's the true understanding of the written word. And then in verse 25 of 1 Peter, listen to this. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. That's that semen that he talks about in verse 23. James chapter 1 verse 18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. Now, there's 3 verses, and I can take you and show you 10 more. And he does this that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures, new creation in Christ Jesus. Long story short, everything in the ministry is beyond human ability to do. No man, I don't care who he is. I don't care how intelligent he is. His IQ could be above Einstein. It doesn't make any difference. Everything in the ministry is beyond human ability. Everything. First of all, I don't know where to go. Do you? Let's say God called you to preach, Jesse, tomorrow. Where would you go? You wouldn't have a clue. You wouldn't have a clue. God has to work his providence and open those doors. I don't know where to go. You have to wait on the Lord. Secondly, I have no power to begat. I can sow all I want to. I can't begat a child of God. If God don't go with me, there ain't going to be no children. And thirdly, I'm dealing with things hidden from those to whom I preach. Been hidden from this world for generations and generations. Gospel truth must be revealed to us and in us. Paul wrote some things over in Ephesians chapter 3. And he said this. He said, whereby when you read what I just wrote, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it's now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Listen to this, 1 Corinthians 2:7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. A mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world under our glory. For I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. By his Spirit. And no man in his right mind would undertake to do those things without being sent of God. I'll tell you a good example. Peter saw the Lord walking on water. That sea had not been calmed yet. It was a raging torrent. Their ship was about to go under. They were desperate. And these were experienced mariners. And here they are, and they're out on this sea, and it's dark. And the only time you get a sea is when that lightning flashes. And the lightning flashed, and you look out there, and here's the Son of God walking on the water. And Peter said, Lord, can I come out there with you? Now, you think he would have just saw the Lord and stepped out on that water? Ain't no way. But the Lord bid him to come. And he walked on that water. He got out and walked on that water till he took his eyes off Christ. No man, if he understands what the preaching of the gospel is about, would undertake this thing without the Lord's bidding. He'd be a fool. He'd be a fool. No man would ever take the hand of a dead corpse and expect them to rise, except the Lord said to do so. And neither would any man go into the ministry without the calling of his Lord. Are you with me so far, what I'm saying about gospel preachers? He appointed other 70. And then thirdly, I want you to see their mission. They were to go into every city and place whether he himself would come. The thing about gospel preaching and preachers is that they're not only sent of God, but Christ himself will follow their preaching. Where are you going to find him? Where two or more are gathered together. Huh? God had called a man and he's teaching them. He's teaching them. Christ said, this is where I'm going. Where I send them and where they preach, that's where I'm going. That's where I'm going. I'm going to attend that ministry. Luke chapter 10 and verse 16, he said, he that heareth you, heareth me. They're ambassadors. When our ambassador goes over there with a message, he's taking the message of the president of this country. He's representing this country into whatever land he's in. And it's just like the president himself standing there telling them these things. He don't speak of himself. He speaks the message that he was given. He's an ambassador. And that's what our Lord's telling them. He that heareth you, heareth me. And he that despiseth you, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me. When and if God sends a preacher, you're hearing his ambassador. How you hear, what you think, how you act, and how you treat him is a reflection on the Lord who sent him. You're not so much doing it for his account, though if you love him, you will. But you're doing this understanding that this is God's ambassador. How I treat him is how I treat my Lord. Would you listen to your Lord? Then listen to his ambassador. In the book of James, it said, be quick to hear, slow to speak. Everything that's said doesn't require a comment. Be slow to speak. Think about what you're hearing. Mull it over. Chew on it for a little while. Be quick to hear, slow to speak. Now listen, and slow to wrath. Where Christ is purposed to visit, he sends his messengers. And they carry God's good tidings of peace. And where they're lovingly received, their peace rests in that house. And then fourthly, I want you to see this, a shocking statement. He said, the harvest is truly great. I want you to think about that. Just let that sink in. The harvest is truly great. Boy, don't seem like it sometimes, does it? Can't see that wheat growing, can you? You look out there and all you see is weeds. All you see is weeds. But the Lord said the harvest is great. It's great. And this much I know, his elect are a number that no man can number. Does that mean there'll be a multitude that we cannot calculate? Yeah, I think so. I think you can say that. But I don't think that's what he's talking about here. They are a certain number, a fixed number, a great number. They're a particular number, all of whose names have been written and sealed in the heart of our Savior. And I believe he's telling us here is that we don't know how many there are, but it's enough to know that they constitute a great number. He said, the harvest. Who's telling you that? The Lord of the harvest. Now he said, don't you go out there and start pulling up tares. You don't know what to pull up and what not to pull up. But when he tells you the harvest is ready, now we go to work. Now we go to work. My brother told me one time, if I believe what you believe, that God has an elect people, that nobody else on earth is going to be saved, that Christ died for them and no one else, he said, I wouldn't bother to preach. And I said to him, it's because I'm assured that he's going to save somebody, that he's going to intervene in the lives of somebody and give eternal life to somebody, that I do preach. Because I know where man's at. I know where man's at. And apart from God's intervention, man can't be saved. He tells you where you're at. He tells you what it is to be under sin. None righteous. Now listen. None that understandeth. None that seeketh after God. And none good. So what are you going to do? Just talk them into a profession of faith? What are you going to do with people who don't understand and who are not going to seek after God? The carnal mind's enmity against God. It despises God. Despises his authority. Despises his word. If I believe God had done all he could do and the rest was up to me, I'd go hide somewhere in a hole. That's what I'd do. You mean to tell me God done all he can do and now it's all up to me? He's resting on me? No, not hardly. Not hardly. If left to themselves, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. It'd be a fruitless effort. But it's a great thing in my mind that God should be willing to save any, let alone a great harvest. What a wonder. What a wonder. But they are ripe, he said, for the harvest. A great harvest. And then fifthly, he said, but the laborers are few. All right, so we'll just start some programs. We'll build some seminaries. We're going to rally the troops and call for as many volunteers as we can find. No, sir. That ain't what he said to do. Not what he said to do. And I'm going to tell you something, that's proven to be a disaster in time past. Men trying to do that very thing. So what should we do? What will you do when I'm gone? My time's getting short. What are you going to do when I'm gone? I don't have many years left, if any at all. So what will you do? Listen. Listen to what our Lord said. Luke chapter 10, the middle of verse 2. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he should send forth laborers into his harvest. You want a man sent of God? Ask God. Ask God. And wait on him. Wait on him. Pray the Lord of the harvest. And this whole business is of the Lord. It's his creation. He's the potter. It's his field, his crop, his purpose. And the husbandman doesn't leave it up to laborers to hire more laborers. The Lord of the harvest takes charge of that. And if the Lord don't send one, equip one, and bless one, you certainly don't want to appoint one yourselves. You talk about being miserable, you'd be miserable. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. He knows where to send them and how to train them and how to work in his heart and in theirs. And then here's the sixth thing, a shocking reality. Go your way. He said, go your way. He said, I'm sending you forth as a lamb among wolves. My friend, the hatred of God by men has not disappeared. But Satan knows how to disguise it and make people believe that they're producing a righteousness by not feeding you to the lions. Don't be fooled by their quietness. They hate God. They hate His Son. And they hate anybody that'll bow to His sovereign will. And they'd feed you to the hogs in a heartbeat. But God restrains them. He restrains them so that we can fulfill our calling. But don't ever be mistaken. When He sends you out, buddy, He's sending you right out where the wolves are. And I tell you, it's a frightening thing from a preacher's standpoint. It's a frightening thing for me to take my family and children and go where the wolves are. Huh? A frightening thing. And then lastly, there's some requirements. He said, don't bring your purse with you. Don't bring a script. Don't bring extra shoes. And don't dawdle. Don't dawdle. What's that mean? That means throw caution to the wind. If God called you, go. There is no other consideration. Just go. Abraham, get out of there. He left. You know what Scripture said? Not knowing where he was going. Get out of there. Throw caution to the wind. God will provide for every preacher He sends. And if he comes to a house and they won't provide and they won't listen and they won't bow and they don't welcome him in, shake the dust off your feet for a testimony against them. You don't even want that dust on your feet. Even the dust of that city is corrupt. Shake it off your feet as a testimony against them and go where you are welcome. He'll work in the hearts of a multitude or a handful, but in both He'll provide for His messengers. There's going to be a house there. And they're going to take you in, and your peace is going to abide in that house. And our Lord says to us, don't go house to house. You're not beggars. Get those little handouts, you know. Open that little plastic change purse, give you a nickel or something. Comparative-wise, I'm telling you the truth. I've been there and done that. We're not beggars. We're not beggars. The King sent us. But there's going to be a house there that'll take you in. And if they don't receive us, you have the testimony of God against them. May the Lord enable me to do these things and for you to see them in the proper light, that we both might honor His blessed name in what we're doing. Thank you.